if you are not watching this on the 6th of April from wherever you're watching from, then you're watching the recorded broadcast. The word you will receive tonight, it will still be as powerful as it was first preached. And there was something the Lord Jesus said. I was drawn to the first time the Lord will observe, well, not the first time really, but let's say the last time before the Lord Jesus went to the cross and he sat down to take Passover with his disciples. We see that in the book of Matthew and chapter 26. If we want to read in context, we can read the few verses before verse 26, but taking it from verse 26, Jesus did something with the Passover that was never done before. He turned that Passover around to send a very strong message to enact a new covenant, a new a covenant is an agreement, but beyond the agreement, it's like the stronger always in agreement with the weaker, and the stronger is passing on their strength to the weaker. So that's now begins to work as a covenant. And Jesus turned the Passover, what was a regular religious observation, especially to the Jews at the time. They have to remember the Passover at a certain time of the year. And that Passover, it reminds them of when they were slaves and then they were delivered from the captivity of their slave masters, which were the Pharaoh and the Egyptians then. So they will take this Passover, they will take this meal to remind themselves and to remind their children that they passed over from slavery, passed over, they were delivered, and they were on their way to the promised land. So tonight, you are going to win a permanent victory, we want to remind ourselves. I'm bringing into the studio tonight, it's a communion and a healing service, because what Jesus did in this Matthew chapter 26, from verse 26, you read the Passover, was to tell them to do what we're about to do tonight in remembrance of him, in remembrance of the victory that his going to the cross the victory that he is going to the cross gave to all of the human race. So I want you to welcome with me tonight. We will be watching, it's a pre-recorded but post-dated word for such a time as this, which we are all going to be listening together and praying together. So tonight, please welcome with me into the studio. Let's welcome the very brand boss herself, our Pastor Sarah Mama G. Aribo. Sarah, are you there? Yes, she is. And I like those bright lights behind you and those pictures.
Thank you.
Yes, and the lovely smile, you're smiling tonight. You know,
thank you, sir.
That's what I call a victorious smile. Okay, and also let's welcome, we're going on a cruise again. Let's welcome the Apostle Cruz himself. Let's welcome the Reverend Gentleman Jamola Cruz Adelusi.
Good evening, sir.
Yes, and it's indeed a good evening to everyone. So the three of us tonight will be watching along with us and we will be praying. If you remember, let me first of all start with you, Damola. On day number 4, when we had what we have come to know as our annual retreat, trusting God to speak to us ahead of time. I don't know if you remember anything from that day number 4 of that retreat. Is there anything that you remember? Did you write anything down that stirs up your remembrance at this time? Or rather, you want to stir up the remembrance of?
I think it was the message itself that caught my attention. The the most when Pastor Etola was talking about winning permanent victories and coming off from the fact that he tried to explain that passage in Proverbs, and he mentioned the fact that you need to put the word of God to your truth. And that's what helps you to be able to avoid looking at the delicacies that the king is serving. And he tried to explain it in the context of the fact that the king is almost like the king of this world. What this world is serving you, and how do you take your eyes off it? How do you behave like the Daniel and his three friends who proposed in their own hearts not to eat of the king's delicacies? I think that was really, really, I think it's going to leave an indelible mark, the fact that he demonstrated it. And I could visibly, see it and reflect on it. And it became something that was permanent in my heart, more or less.
Yeah. Well done. A shout out to Dr. Felix Edola. That's my very pastor. He's joining us from Polokwane, South Africa tonight in spirit, and he will be watching along. And if he's watching along, we say a big good evening to you, sir. He was led by the Spirit of God to put this series of videos together. And as he was saying it then in December, I just received that, you know what, when we get to April, we are going to watch this pre-recorded, post-dated word that is as relevant to us as today. And I'm sure the Sarah Harry will agree with us without any disagreement. I don't know, is there anything that you want to say before we all go and watch this consistent word?
I think Uncle Damola said it, to be honest, because what really stood out to me was the knife, when he put the knife in his throat. I think that literally just stuck in everyone's head, and it's just us. And it all boils down to the fact that we're meant to get soaked in the word of God. Everything we're doing, winning victories, the root is literally from the word of God. So it's still literally taking us back into the word of God. The word of God is our cutting edge. The word of God is going to be what will make us win in this season. So it's literally just that knife, and the knife represents the word of God, because the word of God is a cutting edge and it's very sharp. So that's literally what stood out to me, that knife. Yes. Can't ever forget it.
Okay, it's a two-edged sword. All right, before we watch, I hope we all have our communion tonight. Hear this word as it's coming forth to heal, to deliver, to set you free. Get the bread, flat bread. Get non-living bread if you can get. Get maybe cracker biscuit. Just something symbolic of the body of Jesus. And get some fruit juice, strawberry, cranberry, ribena, to remind us of the blood of Jesus. So we will watch this word. And the title of it is Where That Victory Starts From, which is winning that victory, inner man, changing your inner image. So let's all go right now and watch this word, and we will see you after this. We will pray and have communion together.
So to win, not only in the minute issues of our life, but in the bigger issues of our life. God wants us to be winners in life, to have victory over circumstances of life, and go on and beat everything that He wants us to be in life. And we got to a point now where we talk about the inner image that you have of yourself. I mean, if God's word does not work in you until it begins to change the way you see yourself on the inside, the image that you carry of yourself in the inside, just forget it. You're not going to be able to win permanent victory. I was actually watching some years ago a program by Oprah Winfrey, and I sat down there watching this lady as she interviewed one of these Hollywood movie stars. This movie star or Hollywood man was He was just wondering what is it that makes one person rich and makes some people poor, and why is it that some people are just not able to rise out of that life of poverty. And then he took a box, a portfolio, put some money, stuffed it up with money, I think about $100,000, which is a lot of money. And then he went to this garbage dump where these people are, they're poor people, street dwellers, people without home, homeless, that feed up the garbage dump. He dumped it there because he knew they would be there to scavenge for food. And then this man went there was scavenging, and he found that brand new portfolio, and he picked it up and he opened it. Wow, it was filled up with brand new notes, $100,000. And, he was excited. And, but meanwhile, this Hollywood man was there doing a video and checking him out to see what will happen. So he followed him as he went with that money. First thing this guy did was to call up his ex-girlfriend that had disappeared into the streets of America, disappeared, left him, abandoned him. He called him, "Oh, I've got a lot of money now." And then she came. And then they went out on this safari from hotel to hotel, enjoying themselves all over America. All the old relatives that had forgotten about him pitched up. And then, within a short time, he was back to square one. He'd blown everything up. And his old girlfriend, when the money finished, left him. And then there was something also. I mean, this man who followed him, videoing him and checking him out, finally came and showed himself up and said, "You know what, I was the one that was following you up. And I was the one that put that money there. And I just wanted to see how that money would change your life." And he just had money. He never changed. He was back to the dumps. He was back to the garbage dumps. He was back to his being the homeless man that he was. But there was something interesting that was happening in that man's life. Every time he went with his girlfriend to the hotel room, and he would allow, in the night, he would allow the girlfriend to sleep alone in the bed while he went on the floor to sleep. And the guy asked him, "Why is it that? What happened? I noticed every time you were in this lovely, nice hotel, everything taken care of, you never slept on the bed. How come you were always on the floor?" He said, "I never could just see myself on that bed. I never could see myself." And then he said something again that was striking. He said, "All that time I had that money, which was a lot of money," he said, "I always saw myself back in this dump." And that way it ended again. That was the inner image that he had. $100,000 could not cure him of that inner image. He still carried within him that inner image of a poor man, that inner image of the garbage man, that inner image of the man that feeds off the garbages. That's the kind of image he carried of himself, and he carried it with him, and that image eventually got him right back to where he started from. So that's the power of the image that we have of ourselves. If we don't get to it, if the Word of God does not change that inner image, very little can be accomplished on the outside. You can go to a healing meeting and get healed, but until you begin to see yourself in line with the Word of God, the sickness will still eventually come back. And that's the reason why many do not win permanent victories in life, is because they don't get into the Word of God until the Word of God changes that perception and image that they have of themselves. And that's what I want to talk about for a few more minutes. James chapter 1, let me read again from verse 21. "Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness," he's talking to believers now, "and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. If any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, is like a man beholding his face in a mirror or in a glass. He beholds himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was." And I was dealing with that word manner, and I said that word manner, if you look at that word, not in the Greek, now if you look at that word in the Aramaic, and then also ultimately if you look it up in the Hebrew, is the word A picture is the word, the Hebrew word and the Aramaic word that means a picture. It forgets the picture. And so every time you're reading God's word is presenting you a picture of yourself. You're not just reading letters and you know, verses and chapters. God is presenting you a picture. He's telling you, this is the way I see you. I see you healed. I see you in Christ. I see you delivered. I see you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I see you as holy. Yes, God sees you holy. I see you victorious. I see you delivered. I see you seated at the right-hand side of God in Christ in heavenly places. He's presenting you a picture. That's what James is telling us here. He beholds himself and forgets the picture. The picture does not stay with him. The picture does not remain with him. And that's big because, you know, if you really catch this, your time with the Word of God will completely transform. Your time with the Word of God will change. God is presenting you a picture of yourself when you are reading the Word of God. You're not just reading. You're not just looking at the scriptures. James is telling you what is happening when you, every time you get a hold of the Word of God and you're reading and you're meditating and you're praying with it, he's presenting you a picture of yourself, the way God sees you. You see, when you read 1 Peter 2:24, God is, himself bore my sins in his body on the cross so that I might die to sins and live to righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed, is telling you the picture that God has of you since Christ died for you at the cross. God looks at you as somebody healed. You are not a sick person trying to get well in Christ. No, if you are a Christian and you have accepted Jesus as your, you've accepted Jesus as your Lord, you've accepted Calvary, you've accepted what God did for you at the cross, God looks at you as the healed. You are the healed, and the devil is trying to continue to hold you in that sickness. So you change, the part of you that has to change first is the inner image. When you change that inner image, even if the sickness is still in your body, it will eventually go away. But if you can get healed in your physical body and that inner image of sickness is still in there, guess what? That victory will not be permanent. He sees you as somebody free from sin. That's why that confession, I'm an old sinner saved by grace, is such a contradictory confession to the Word of God. God does not see you as an old sinner saved by grace. You are not an old sinner. It's not looking upon you as an old sinner. It looks upon you as his righteousness. Somebody that is free already from the sin. But the devil wants to continue to hold you bound in sin with that inner image of sin. That's what he's talking about. Lay aside the filthiness and the superfluity of nothingness. He's telling them to lay aside from their mind the image of sin that they have on the inside. You must remove from your mind that inner image of sinfulness. And that's what he's talking about. Let the Word of God clean up that image. Clean it up and replace it with a new image of yourself in Christ Jesus. That's what he's talking about. He says, he straight away forgets. In other words, that picture does not stay with him. Okay, then verse 25 says, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continues therein, he be not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. So this word to look, it means to bend over a mirror in order to examine it in details. In other words, the man is looking into the Word of God. He's not trying to take a glance of the Word of God. He's looking into the Word of God and to get a detailed picture of himself, high definition image of himself. That's what we call it today in the modern parlance. We refer to high, we talk about high definition images. A detailed image of yourself in Christ Jesus. So that's what this man is doing, the man that is blessed. He's looking at it to get a picture. He understands what the Word of God does. He knows that every time I go to the Word of God is giving me a picture, and I want to see that picture to see myself in detail. You see, that's what is happening. So when you look at the Word of God presents you a picture of yourself, and God wants you to stay with that picture, stay with it and stay with it and stay with it until that image captures your mind. When it captures your mind, it will transform your actions. Because our actions are controlled by the images that we carry of ourselves. You can ask any psychologist that. He will tell you that. They pour in billions and billions and billions into advertisements. Because that's what the advertisements do. Advertisements, they bring to you images and pictures. Okay? That's why they will advertise the image of alcohol with that young black man with, you know, upwardly mobile, successful, with a nice looking, lovely, beautiful girl as his wife or girlfriend, and they're going into this restaurant to drink alcohol, and they're trying to connect that the alcohol with a picture of a successful man. Then to make you think, oh, alcohol is good, and that picture stays with you, and you want to drink alcohol. You see, because in the advertising world, image is everything. Pictures are everything. Okay, so that's what pictures do. When that picture stays with you, it will control your purchasing habits. You see, so I mean, it has been proven in the psychological world that people don't buy things based on the reasonableness of the things that they are buying. It's the picture that they carry of that product that governs their purchasing habits. That has been proven. You can take a product that's not very good, advertise it, and tie it up with nice images, and that product will still sell because it's the picture that people carry of that product that makes them to buy it. Okay? So this is something that works even in every aspect of life. It's the picture, the image that you carry on the inside of you that governs your behavior in the outside world. So that is what you need to understand. That's what James is talking about here. He's talking about the Word of God creating in you images of yourself in line with the Word of God, changing the picture that you have of yourself. And when the Word of God begins to change the picture that you have of yourself, the image of you carry of yourself, then it will transform the way you act in the outside world, and it will produce permanent victory. So now, let's look at that. I wanted to look at 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. 2 Corinthians 3, 18. Before I go to 2 Corinthians 3, 18, there's another point here that I want to bring out to you. Let me go back again to James. There's still a point that I need to bring out that I've left out. I want to go back there and read it. It says here, but whosoever looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues therein, he be not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Now, this word blessed has within it the connotation of life without limits. Living without limits. In other words, you're a free man. That's why he calls it the law of perfect liberty. It's the same thing, the law of blessing or the law of perfect liberty. They are the same thing. So he's talking about the Word of God coming into your life to produce blessing, to produce freedom, to produce life without limitations. You're not limited. Financially, no limitations. Your health, no limitations. No limitations. You can't say, well, you know, I'm born into a family and in my family there's this generational illness that goes from family to family and everybody in my family dies at the age of 50. I expect to also die at the age of 50. No. When you're walking in blessing, when you're walking in the law of perfect liberty, you are free from that. Generational curses cannot come into your life and have you in bondage because they held subsequent generations in bondage. The Bible is the law of perfect liberty. The Bible brings into our life the law of perfect liberty. When it sets you free, it sets you free. You can't say, I come from a generation of poverty. My grandfather was a poor man. My great-grandfather was a poor man. My father was a poor man. And therefore, I must live like them also. I'm also living in poverty. The law, the word of God is the law of perfect liberty. Sets you free from that. Sets you free from that. It brings blessing into your life. The ability to live without limitations. I mean, God gives you an assignment. You cannot say, this assignment cannot be accomplished because we don't have the money to accomplish. The money that is going to take to accomplish this assignment is too much. No, life without limits. Life without limits. Anything can be accomplished. Anything can be done. You can go anywhere God wants you to go. You can do anything God wants you to do. You can become whatever God wants you to become. But it says for the word of God to produce that in your life, guess what? It must change the inner image that you have of yourself. So now, look at that word. Whoso looketh. Another meaning for that word means to hear into it. In other words, you're looking at it, you are hearing it until you begin to see yourself in it. Do you see yourself in the Word of God? Every time you read the Word of God, that's what you should be seeing. You see yourself in it. You see yourself in the blessing. You see yourself in healing. You see yourself in victory. You see yourself in deliverance. You see yourself, oh my God, you see yourself doing the works of Jesus. Jesus said, whosoever believes in me, the works that I do, he shall do also. So you see yourself doing those works. Therefore, yes, we see ourselves getting people born again, getting them healed, getting them delivered, laying hands upon the sick, and they are getting healed. You should see yourself that way. I should see myself that way. That's what James is talking about. You hear it, you read it, you study it, you meditate on it, until you see yourself in it, until it changes your thinking and you begin to see yourself in it. Now let's go down to 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and then we can continue to read from there. 2 Corinthians 3 verse 18. I believe this is a scripture for the theme of the Love Assembly UK's retreat, Transformed from Glory to Glory. But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image. You see that? That's the word again, image. From glory to glory. So we're talking about the manifestation of the glory of God. But do you know that the glory of God will not manifest in our lives until we begin to change the inner image that we carry of ourselves? The word of God will transform that inner image that you have of yourself. How? As you take the word of God and begin to meditate in it, the word of God will change that inner image that you have of yourself. It will change it. You change it from an image of poverty to an image of prosperity, an image of sickness to an image of healing and health, an image of depression to an image of joy and victory. You begin to see yourself the way God sees you in Christ Jesus. When that happens and that image stays with you, you will act it out. I mean, look at the story of David. It's very, very, very interesting, the story of David. It says that David went out there. He was supposed to be at war, fighting the battles of the Lord. He didn't go. He sent other people there. In the evening, he came out of his room, was walking in his palace, and then he looked down and he saw Bathsheba having her bath. And the Bible says that David saw that beautiful woman. And the way it is in the Hebrew, it says, and David continued to see her. Even when the woman had finished bathing and gone into her room and, you know, she was doing other things, David's mind could not go away. His mind was captured by that picture. Guess what happened? That became the way he acted. It transformed his action. It captured his action. And this happens in the negative way, the same way it happens in the positive way. If the word of God can get a hold of your thinking, get a hold of the image in your mind, then it will automatically transform the way you act. Nobody acts outside of the image that they have on themselves. The word of God will transform the image that you carry of yourself. And that's what the scripture is talking about. As we behold, as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord, we are being transformed. See, as we behold the glory, we have been transformed. As we carry that image on the inside, that image is transforming the way we see ourselves. Okay, so that's what we're talking about here. Now, I want to also look at John chapter 8, verse 30 to 32. John chapter 8, 30 to 32. John 8, where is it? As he spake these words, many believed on him. And then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. Can you see that? And the truth will make you free. Many people say, we quote this scripture wrongly by saying, the truth will set you free. That's not what Jesus said. The truth does not just set you free. Just carrying the Bible will not make you free. If the truth sets us free, everybody that has the Bible should be free, because the Bible contains the truth of God's word. No, that's not what Jesus said. Jesus said, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth that you know will set you free. So this word to know, like I said, if you look at it again in the Aramaic and then look at it in the Hebrew, because you remember Jesus did not speak Greek to his audience. He spoke Aramaic to them. So you have to learn to look at some of these words in Aramaic. He spoke Aramaic in his time. So when Jesus said no, you have to think about it in Hebrew and Aramaic. That's for the language he spoke to them in. The Hebrew word and Aramaic know, to know, yada, means literally the power to see. The power to see. In other words, when you continue in the word, you gain the ability to see yourself the way God sees you in his word. And when you do that, you become free. You begin to see yourself in line with the truth, where the truth of God's word forms the picture of what you see of yourself. You will be free. There is not one sin in this world that can hold you bound if you begin to see yourself the way God sees you. Then it changes the picture that you have of yourself. That's it. It will transform your life. You see, I often use this illustration when I teach this particular truth. I say, if I tell you right now that when you finish watching this particular teaching that I'm doing right now, go and do not think about a red monkey. Don't think about a red monkey. Remember not to think about a red monkey. When you go about your business for the rest of the day, do not think about a red monkey. When you go to bed to sleep at night, do not think about a red monkey. If I said that to you, guess what? You're going to spend the rest of the day trying not to think about a red monkey. And in trying not to think about a red monkey, guess what will happen to you? Your mind will be filled with pictures of a red monkey. You see that? And that's what the Lord does. The Lord tells you, thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not. And in telling us, thou shalt not, you know what we do? We begin to figure out how we will not do it. And in trying to figure out how we are not going to do it, our mind becomes filled with the same thing we are trying not to do. You see? So that's the thing. Now, if I said, do not think about a red monkey. In trying not to think about a red monkey, your mind becomes filled with a red monkey. And now you're struggling not to think about a red monkey. And in struggling not to think about a red monkey, you think more about a red monkey. Until you give up and say, no, this is not possible. I cannot not think about a red monkey. No, if in order for me to tell you not to think about a red monkey, guess what I have to do? I have to give you a more captivating picture to replace that picture of a red monkey. That picture must be replaced in your mind with something that captures your attention. There must be something that holds your mind more than that picture of a monkey. And guess what happens? You forget the red monkey. A newer picture has taken the place of it in your mind. And then you've forgotten about the red monkey. You just wake up, for the last 1 month, I've not even thought about a red monkey. Guess what? Something more interesting, something bigger, something more powerful has gotten a hold of your mind. And that's what this scripture is talking about. If you continue in my word, then the word will shape the image that you have of yourself. it will change the image that you have of yourself. And once that image is changed, you are a free man. And the truth will make you free. It doesn't say the truth will set you free. You can be outside of a prison and still wind up back in a prison. We know that very well. Repeat offenders. Many people who have spent time in prison, you set them free, within a year or two, they are back in prison. Some of them, even within a few days, they are back in prison again. You know why? Because the picture of that crime that took them into the prison in the first place is still there. They're still carrying it in their mind. So they are repeat offenders. The moment they get out of the four walls of a prison, back in crime again, and then back in prison again. Because freedom is not being outside of the walls of the prison. You can live inside a prison as a free man. Joseph did that. Joseph was placed in prison by his boss, the Potiphar. But in the prison, he was a free man. He was a free man. And eventually, the walls of that prison could not hold him in. He was set free, and he became the prime minister of what? Of the land. Guess what? Before he became prime minister of the entire nation, he had been seeing himself as a ruler. He had been seeing himself as a king. He had been seeing himself as somebody who will rule a nation one day. He carried that picture on the inside of him until it eventually became manifest. And everywhere Joseph was, it was that picture that governed the way he carried himself. When he was in Egypt, the Egyptian jail, he was the prime minister of that jail. You see, when he was in Potiphar's house, he was prime minister in Potiphar's house. He became the head of the entire place. Until eventually, he became the head of the nation of Egypt. Why? Because he carried an image on himself that continued to control the way he lived his life. So that's the power of positive image on the inside of it. That's the word of God. That's what the word of God wants to do in your life. The word of God comes to change the image that you have. And once the word of God changes the image that you have of yourself, then you begin to see it in the form of permanent victories in everything.
Thank you. Wow. You know, the word we've had tonight just reminds me of two scriptures that our faith comes by hearing. When we keep hearing and hearing and hearing. But in all sincerity, I think that should be Romans chapter 10, verse 17. I just quoted. But then, really, it's not like we hear, we actually see. You know, and that's what Habakkuk captured. If we can quickly go to Habakkuk chapter 2, and then we'll pray tonight. We will pray. Because one of the things that the communion helps us to do is to open our eyes, open our understanding. And that is one of the things we will pray about tonight. In Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 1, this is what Habakkuk said in Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 1, number 1. Habakkuk was talking about standing, you know, standing upon the watch post. Standing like a watchman that is on a watchtower. And he's saying that I'm going to stand there. I will set myself on that tower. And I will watch to see what he will say. And what I will answer when I'm corrected. I will watch to see. In other words, I'm going to watch until I actually see. It's not just about hearing. Can I see what I'm hearing? Can I see what God is saying? And that is our prayer tonight as we come to this place of communion. I want us to pray, because winning permanent victories, like we've learned, has got to do with, number one, seeing ourselves as victorious, having that inner image of a victor, not a victim. You know, there are so many things that happens to us in life. And if we let the things that happen to us, the things people say to us, a text somebody just sends to you now, you know, if you keep gazing on that text, you will start seeing what that text is saying, seeing what that person is saying, or even seeing beyond what they are saying. And the more you keep gazing on it, the more it will affect you. People, it's time for us to take charge of our inner thoughts. When we control our inner thoughts, we control the inner image. We put a sentry on our hearts where we actually watch what we allow to come inside. So, you know, the word we've heard tonight is meant to heal us. And I want us to pray from that Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 1. You know, that's a good place for us to pray from. I just wanted to share that. We'll pray from there. And that, you know, that I think it's just a simple prayer. I'm receiving the leading now that, Lord, just help me to see. Help me to always see what you are saying. Help me to see what you are saying. Not necessarily what circumstances are saying, not what people are saying, not what people are texting to me, not what people have said to me. But Lord, beyond all this, what are you saying? And I think that gives us victory. So, you know, tonight, let's just pray. Let's just pray. Father, I ask in the name of Jesus for myself and for everyone, Lord, that have heard this word tonight as we come to this place of communion. Lord, what are you saying? Help us to see what you're saying to us individually. What you're saying in our different challenges, circumstances, situations, help us to see. Amen. Not what the circumstances are saying, but what you are saying, irrespective of what is going on. Father, thank you because your word, you never send your word to return to you without accomplishing what you please. Lord, what you are saying, what we ought to see, help us so that your word will accomplish what you please, so that there will be an entrance of your word, so that there will be illumination in our hearts, so that we'll begin to see, even in the midst of darkness, you that command light to come out of darkness. And Lord, as we've had tonight also, that even though our physical human bodies might be battered, rattled with sicknesses, with pain, we cannot ignore these feelings of pain. But Lord, in the midst of the feeling, what are you saying? You have said by your stripes, by the stripes of Jesus, we were healed. Help us to begin to see. Anyone who is sick tonight, in the midst of their pain, help them to begin to see that indeed, by the stripes of Jesus, they were healed. Were healed. Were healed. Whatever the enemy is saying, whatever his enemies are attempting to do, to let us see that we're actually the healed, but the enemy of our souls is trying to put us down, to make us continually see ourselves as sick, as oppressed, as defeated, as victims, rather than what you are saying. Lord, I pray tonight, help us to see what you're saying, help us to experience what you have said, and let all the glory be to you. So Lord, once again tonight, we send that word of healing to everyone who has been oppressed in their minds, oppressed in their body, oppressed in their soul, whatever form of oppression, whatever this is anyone is going through, whatever is making anyone to be unease at this time, let there be healing in the name of Jesus. You send forth your word, it is written, and your word heal them and deliver them from their destruction. Thank you. That is our portion, that is our experience, that's the experience of everyone under the sound of this word tonight. We are healed. Amen. He that Jesus sets free is free indeed. You are set free, you are healed, Amen. And indeed you are. You will begin to see and you begin to experience in the name of Jesus. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Amen. I don't know if Tamala and Sarah feel led to pray before we go and take the communion again. If there's any area you're led to pray after the word we've heard tonight, Please just feel free while everyone watching tonight will keep saying amen and receiving and seeing and experiencing in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Yeah, please go ahead and pray, sir.
Father Lord, we thank you for your word, because indeed it's your word that transforms. We thank you, Lord, because you said anytime we turn to the Lord, with unveiled faces. Tonight, Lord, we turn to you.
Yes.
We turn to you so that we may be changed from glory to glory. That our inner man, Lord, may be changed from glory to glory.
Amen.
Father, Lord, tonight, even as we take the communion, we ask, Lord, that the images that we have kept in our hearts that have held us back in the time come, that this, Lord, will be torn down in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Father, Lord, those high things that prevent the knowledge of you, those rebellious thoughts that create wrong images in our hearts and affect how we think, Father, Lord, we put them down today, O Lord, in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Lord, today we put on Christ. We ask, O Lord, that only Christ will be lifted.
Amen.
That Christ will be formed in our hearts in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Father, Lord, that we may come to the knowledge of who we are.
Yes, Lord.
Sons of God, seated in high places with Christ Jesus. Not people that are lowly, Father, Lord, but sons of God.
Yes.
The ones that God has given his glory to. That we may be able to come to the knowledge of who we are in you. Lord, just as Apostle Paul prayed in Ephesians, that the eyes of our understanding may be enlightened. Father, Lord, that we may be able to know. That we may be able to know. Father, Lord, the confident hope that you have called us into.
Thank you, Lord.
Father, Lord, that no longer would we see ourselves, Lord, lower than how you see us. In the name of Jesus.
Thank
you, Lord. Father, Lord, that even in this season, Lord, that the depth of the riches of your inheritance in you, Lord, that we'll be able to come to the understanding of it. Father, Lord, that we are no longer walking like people who no longer have hope. Father, Lord, but we would know you. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Father, Lord, we pray that those things that easily makes us, Lord, to reset, just like Pastor Idolo said, it's almost like as if we come out of prison, then goes back into prison, and come back out of prison. But those things that creates that repeat, that creates a high and then brings back a low. Those things that we do, those thorns, oh Lord, that may be in our hearts, oh Lord, that changes that image of you in our hearts. Father, Lord, we come to your throne of mercy today because it's only you that can change us. It's only you that can give us a clean heart and a right spirit. Lord, we receive, Lord, tonight, even as we come to the communion table, a new heart. And Lord, renew a right spirit within us that we may have the mind just like Christ. With humility, O Lord, in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Father, Lord, that Christ alone will be raised and will be formed in us. For in Jesus' name we've prayed.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. I'm just going to pray for us. And even if, as I say the word, you can also pray for yourself as well. And one of the things that Dr. Felix said was that God wants us to win. And it's us knowing that our Father is a good Father and he wants us to win. That is the first thing he said. And I want us to just go ahead and just ask the Holy Spirit to help us see ourselves through his word.
Yes,
because the word of God is a mirror. As we keep reading the word of God, as we keep reading the word of God, we keep seeing ourselves. We keep seeing what the Lord has called us. Father, we ask Holy Spirit that you help us to see ourselves through your word in the name of Jesus. Not the things that the word has said about us. We are not limited by what the world has called us. If the Lord has called you a mother of all nations, if the Lord has told you that you are a lender to nations. Father, help us to start seeing ourselves, God, through your word in the name of Jesus. And I remember what the Lord told Abraham. The Lord said to Abraham, as far as you can see, Holy Ghost, that you begin to open our eyes, oh God. Father, we ask, oh God, that you begin to clear every spiritual glaucoma, that everything that is injuring us from not seeing what you have called us to be. Because sometimes the things that we go through, they can literally block our sight. Father, we remove every veil. Father, everything that is covering the sight of your children, Father, we remove them in the name of Jesus. Father, we remove them right now in the name of Jesus. Help us see ourselves, oh God, the way you have seen us, oh God. The Bible says he knew us. He knew us, even from our mother's womb. He knew us. Father, we pray, God, we will see ourselves the way you have seen us, oh God. In the name of Jesus, we will not allow the world to put a lid on us. We will not allow the world to put any limitations on us. Father, we would understand that with you, there is more in this season, in the name of Jesus. And I hear in my spirit that some people are even thinking, maybe because they are mothers, because they are fathers, they are older people, they cannot step into where God has called them to be. Father, we break every limiting, Father, every limiting thought. Father, we break them right now in the name of Jesus. Father, we pray that you begin to clear, God. You begin to clear, and I can even see a picture of a cobweb being cleared. Father, we pray, Holy Ghost, that you begin to clear, oh God, you begin to clear every dirt, everything that is not of you in our mouth. We clear them right now in the name of Jesus, and we'll begin to understand the victory that we have in you. We begin to understand the victory that we have in our Father. We begin to understand that when you went to the cross, La Kusheteliya Kapasuta, we have achieved our victory, God. Father, we thank you, God. Thank you, Father. We thank you for changing our world. We thank you for changing us with your word. We thank you because even as we begin to read your word, as we begin to study your word, Lord, we will start to see you. We will start to see ourselves. And I could also hear that when we read the word of God, the word of God begins to tell us what area in our lives we should start working on. The word of God will start to reveal the negative side, the positive side, the side that you need to work on. Father, we ask in the name of Jesus that we would not lie to ourselves, that we will be doers of your word, that even as we behold your word, as we begin to dig into your word, as we begin to see what you're saying, we would not just read, we would not just think your word is coming to condemn us, but we will take your word, we will take your word and we will run with it in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you for the liberty that we have in your word, Christ Jesus. Father, we honor you, God, and we say thank you for revealing this truth to us, because it is the truth that we know will set us free. We thank you because we have been set free tonight in the name of Jesus. Father, we give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Father, we say be it unto us according to your word and what you are opening our understanding to see. I want us to get the bread, symbolic of the body of Jesus, and the communion wine, which is symbolic of the blood that was shed. Now, we're going to read Matthew chapter 26 from verse 26 to 28. And as I will be reading it tonight, I want us to see something. My eyes were open to something, a truth I've always known, but then reinforced, and is a new understanding again. So two scriptures, really. We will read that Matthew 26 from verse 26 to 28, and then we will go and read Psalm 103. So it's not just about the reading. Remember, we want to see what God is saying. So let's go to that first as we go to this communion table tonight. Let's go to that Matthew chapter 26. This was the very first time that Jesus was going to do what we are doing tonight. All right, what we're doing tonight. So Matthew chapter 26, verse 26, 27, and 28. So if we can have that come on the screen, and then we have Psalm 103, and we read Psalm 103 from verse 1 down to verse 5. Okay, so Psalm Matthew 26 first. I hope we have the bread. We have the wine. We have the fruit juice. As I read this, now look at this. The Bible said, as they were eating, Jesus took the bread. Okay, and he blessed the bread. And he broke the bread. He blessed the bread. He broke the bread. You see, to bless means to empower, to give a power to something, an entity or an individual. Like, for example, you go to somebody in a place of authority and you go to ask for their blessing. You want to do something and you are just asking for their blessing to do it. So they say, I give you my blessing, go ahead. That is, you are empowered to carry out whatever it is you want to. So Jesus blessed the bread. In other words, he empowered the bread. He infused the bread with the power of what? He said it. The Bible said he broke it. He gave it to the disciples. Said, take. This is my body. In other words, he blessed that bread, empowered that bread to become the body. Now, what is significant of the body? That body of Jesus was about to be broken, was about to be battered. And what that means was that every sin, every disease, every iniquity that we will ever commit was about to be put on that body. So that when every sin is put on that body, the body, by being broken, battered, bruised, will begin to bleed. And you know the significance of the bleeding? Blood comes out. And the Bible says, by his stripes we were healed. Through the Bible says that it's through the shedding of the blood, we have remission, forgiveness of our sins. So Jesus empowered this bread. So please take the bread tonight, and I will, and we will just do this. Jesus said we should do this in remembrance of him. Lord Jesus, tonight we come to you again. We ask for your blessing upon this bread. Infuse this bread to become your body that took every blow, every sin, every iniquity, every disease that any one of us will ever have or might be having right now or might be going through. Thank you. We ask for your blessing. We receive this bread and we thank you. As we break this bread, we break your body that was broken for us. And as we eat everything that this body was broken for. In the name of Jesus. The Bible said, look at it, verse 27, before we eat, so that we do it with that understanding and with our eyes enlightened. The Bible said he now took the cup. He gave thanks and gave it to them and said, drink all of it. Drink from it, all of you. He now said in verse 28, what is this blood? Can you see that this drink I'm giving you is no longer the fruit of the vine? But what did he say? It is now my blood. But it's the blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. So the body was empowered to take every iniquity, every sin. The blood was shed, look at it, for the forgiveness, remission of every sin. And I'm hearing, because when they say something, there's a medical term about cancer and then remission and things like that, whatever this is, whatever the doctors have diagnosed and said is incurable, somebody hear the word of the Lord tonight. As you eat this empowered bread tonight, this blessed bread, the body, every iniquity, the root cause of whatever ailment is in your body is broken, is removed, washed, purged from your body, purged from your blood, from your system, your organ tonight in the name of Jesus. And Psalm 103, because of time, we may not be able to read, or if we can actually read it, and then we eat with the understanding. It tells us that we should bless the Lord. In verse 1 of Psalm 103, why? In verse 2, he said we should not forget all his benefits. And what are these benefits? He begins to enumerate it. Number 1 in verse 3, Psalm 103, verse 3, if we can jump straight into verse 3. He says, he forgives all iniquities. He forgives all, not some, every iniquity. And then what does he do next? And heals, not some, all diseases. So what are we doing tonight? As we eat the body, the blessed body empowered to take every sin and iniquity, and we drink, our sins are forgiven. And because sins are forgiven, iniquities are forgiven, you know what follows? Diseases are healed. Hallelujah. Father, we receive this, we break the bread, we eat. Every iniquity is purged from our body, every disease, every ailment, whatever has been diagnosed, in the name of Jesus, your word that you send brings healing and brings deliverance and never returns to you void. In the name of Jesus, somebody receive strength in your inner man, because that disease is cursed to the root. That growth is cursed to the root. That fibroid dissolved now in the name of Jesus. Please eat now. And now let's take the cup. Every disease, every iniquity, every ailment is broken. He took the cup. Let's give thanks that by the stripes we are healed. As we drink this cup, every sin is forgiven, washed. And guess what? As every sin is forgiven, every disease is healed to the glory of God. In Jesus' name. Please go ahead and drink the blood of Jesus tonight, the blood of sprinkling, the blood that speaks better things than that of Abel. I perceive strong healing. Healing. Miracles are happening. Iniquities forgiven. Diseases healed. Iniquities forgiven. Diseases healed. Please put on the screen. That's Psalm 103 and verse 3. He forgives all iniquities. Please thank him now. And heals all diseases, that any disease in your body, and I pray that that inner image will be formed now. Let's begin to see all our sins forgiven, what you have said you shouldn't say, what you have texted that you should not have texted, what you have done that you shouldn't have done, what you did that you should have left undone. Forgiven. Mm-hmm. Forgiven. And all diseases healed. And you know what? The next verse is, he redeems your life, my life, from destruction, and crowns me with loving kindness and tender mercies. And you know what? It satisfies my mouth, your mouth, with good things. So that my youth, your youth, is renewed like the eagle. Father, only you can do this. only you. Lord Jesus, you spoke your word, you healed every disease. Tonight, we are grateful. Everybody, begin to see yourself healed now. Begin to see yourself, first of all, forgiven. Forgiven. Maybe you are feeling condemned before you got on this broadcast. See yourself forgiven. There is therefore now no condemnation. You are in Christ Jesus. And see yourself forgiven and see yourself healed. Every disease. Every disease. Satan, you cannot hold anyone in that sickness, anyone in that disease anymore. We are healed by the blood of Jesus, by the body of Jesus. Every named iniquity, whatever it is broken over our bodies, over our lives, because our sins are forgiven. In the name of Jesus. Father, we say thank you. Please, if you can declare, just declare as many as can with us tonight. Just say, Father, I thank you.
Father, I thank you.
That all my iniquities are forgiven.
That all my iniquities are forgiven.
And all diseases are healed.
And all diseases are healed.
I am healed from every disease.
I am healed from every disease.
Because all my sins and iniquities are forgiven.
Because all my sins and iniquities are forgiven.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
Father, I thank you.
Father, I thank you.
For redeeming my life from destruction.
For redeeming my life from destruction.
For crowning me with your loving kindness.
For crowning me with your loving kindness.
And tender mercies.
And tender mercies.
Thank you for satisfying my mouth.
Thank you for satisfying my mouth.
With good things.
With good things.
And renewing my youth.
And renewing my youth.
Like the eagles.
Like the eagles.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Hear this word, people. Now that your mouth is satisfied with good things, let no corrupt communication henceforth come forth from your mouth. Speak good concerning yourself. See good, speak good, say it, and you will see it to the glory of God. Father, thank you. Thank you. And this inner image you've changed tonight, we hold on tight to it. And as we continue to behold this inner image that you have transformed within us by your word, we are changed into your image, transformed from glory to glory. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. God bless you, everybody. Go in this victory, go in this power, go in this new image of who God says you are. Amen. Good night.